Lorraine, who has just announced the Three Olympia Theatre for next March, 27th of March. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10th of May at 9 a.m. I didn't know that was there, but had that plan to play anyway. What a scorcher we had on Sunday. And although we were brought back to reality on Monday, it looks like the summer is on its way. As I mentioned, Joanna Donnelly said 22 degrees this weekend. Wahoo! Whether you're staying in Ireland or hopping on a plane, we need to start thinking about how to care for our skin during the hot weather. And joining me now is the skin nerd, Jennifer Rock.
Good afternoon.
You're as dependable as the changing of the seasons, Jennifer. That's when we have you in.
I don't know if that's a compliment, Ray, or how to take that. Thank you.
No, but I was saying that at the beginning. It's important, isn't it, as the seasons change, that we change our skincare regime, I would think. So people, we have this habit, you've probably seen it in your work, that when the sun starts to shine, we forget. It's as if it takes us by surprise every year.
I know. I think that's the joy of living on this beautiful island. It is a bit of a surprise. Now when it rains, we're surprised as well. So look, we're constantly in a state of surprise. But you're right. When it comes into this time of the year and with weekends like next weekend coming up or yesterday or today's weather, it's just about being careful. I suppose you don't have to change your skincare regime massively. It's not that I ever advocate or endorse that people have to spend a lot of money each time. It's just being aware. So what typically happens, because the limbs are out in force and there's midriffs on show that perhaps haven't seen the light of day since this time last year, is just being conscious. People tend to unfortunately become more conscious in the summertime. So they're aware of, you know, what's called keratosis pilaris on the back of the arms. It's often called chicken skin, not the nicest way to describe it, but it's like little red lumps. People are conscious of that and what to do with it. So it's essentially coming down to the same things as always. It's cleansing the skin, but not doing it excessively. So just using cream-based products that really lock in moisture. Exfoliation, doing it respectfully, again, not over. We have this tendency on this beautiful island of ours to overwash and over exfoliate. We seem to psychologically adore that sensation of being really clean. Right. But sometimes that's taking too much away from the natural oils on the skin. So exfoliating with things like acids, which sometimes, interestingly, terrify people more. They tend to love the grit and the granule and the, you know, the bead or the sugar concept. Actually, acids in an exfoliating form, so you're looking at alpha hydroxy acids or salicylic acid, lactic acid, words that if you go into the chemist, you'll see them written everywhere. They tend to exfoliate the skin in a lotion. So you don't feel any grit, but it's actually more active and more respectful on the skin. So using things like that coming into the summer months is ideal. Just not to use them when you're in direct sunlight, because any form of exfoliation will make your skin more sensitive to light. And then the other side of it is, come September, October, November, then people are more conscious of what we call pigmentation. So what's pigmentation? If you look in the mirror, for example, and say you didn't have a top on, you might notice that your tummy is a different shade, if you will, to your arms, to your face. Usually it's inverted commas weathered skin. So where you see that you've had a fantastic summer perhaps, but it's left you with a lot of freckling and darkening, and ultimately, unfortunately, the DNA and the damage of the skin is present. People like to call them freckles, right? On the bearer of bad news, that they're usually like, oh, you look sun-kissed and there's sun freckles. But
so
they're usually damaged, unfortunately.
What should people be doing? What like, because whenever this comes up, some people say, I have SPF 50 on my face 365 days a year. Do you recommend that?
So SPF stands for sun protection factor.
Yeah.
In Ireland, I always align with what the Irish Cancer Society say, because that's, and globally, all the cancer societies tend to align. So I'm a big fan of SPF 365, but particularly when you're in your heated sun, reapplication is really important. And you're looking at an SPF 30 and above, that's ultimately the goal. So anything less than that, you tend not to have enough protection. And it's not just the number that you're looking for. What you're actually best to be aware of is the amount you apply is as important as the number. So for example, what works against an SPF 50 is people can have a false sense of security, thinking, sure, look, I put the 50 on this morning, I'm grand for the day. But if you're swimming, if you're out and about, if you're constantly in sunlight, like there's a huge movement towards farming, like there's so many farmers on this island of ours, to make sure that we're reapplying our SPF is important. So not just depending on that one application in the morning time. And then particularly when there's heat out, like we have today, making sure you're topping it up if you're in the car, because those lights do come through the window and they do penetrate into the lower layer of the skin. So from a health perspective and an aesthetics perspective, SPF is a non-negotiable.
So 50, see, my understanding was that 50 was 50 times the amount of time it would take you to burn.
Yes.
So if it takes, say, 15 minutes for you to burn 50 times that, that's an awful lot of hours.
That's an awful lot of hours, yes. But now they've updated it in a sense to say every 2 hours is the wisest rule of thumb.
Throw that out.
Throw that out.
Okay.
And how much you apply is important as well. So I always ask people, they do say that you can imagine like a shot glass. It seems like an awful lot amount of product, but that's how much you're supposed to be applying on your limbs, or if you're looking at your face, for example, because we do usually say to apply SPF on the face regardless. A lot, like your shirt today, you don't really need SPF where you have your shirt on, same with myself, but when you have your arms, your hands, your face, your neck, for example, exposed to apply it, how much are you supposed to apply to the face is one that always startles people. So I would say, look at your hand, whatever, our hands are obviously in proportion to the rest of our body. And if you look at your forefinger and your middle finger, if you imagine product applied the whole length up both of those fingers, that's how much SPF you're supposed to apply from your collarbone up to your forehead in order to truly have that okay. number. So to have that 30, to have that 50 protection. So it's a lot.
Chew versus spray.
So interesting. I'm a big believer in a sole, like a specific SPF cream that you put on in the morning whose sole purpose is to be an SPF. And then throughout the day, I might top up with a spray. And the reason I'm reluctant to rely solely on a spray is if you think about a spray, if you've imagined doing it right now, you hold your arm back, you close your eyes, you spray right into the center of your face. The distribution typically isn't as even because it centers into the middle of the face. And then right. the little, you know, the yes. kind of fragments, if you will, are sitting outside the ears or, you know, the neck. So it's just not as even. So another option to that is just turning your face. Again, very simple, just doing three lines. The whole goal is to get as even of a distribution of product as you possibly can.
Mm. And just to remind people that skin cancer is the biggest type of cancer that affects Irish people.
Yeah.
And we're fair skinned.
Yes.
And we're more likely to get skin cancer. That they're the facts.
Statistically, exactly.
Hats, hugely important.
Hats, sunglasses. I had this argument with my son only recently. He's packing to go on a summer holiday. He's only 20. He's all about the style and I'm all about the eye health. So it's always about, as you said, covering up, trying to stay out of the sun between your 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock as best you can. Appreciate if you're in the farming world or you work outside, that's not viable, but just being careful while you're doing it. If you're going on a sun holiday to solely tan yourself, could I just urge you to fake it and never try to make it? Because ultimately what you're doing is damaging your skin. Mm. In Ireland,
those days are gone.
But we're lovers of a tan.
No,
right?
but I think those days are gone.
That's a whole
is
different
Is that a generational
segment.
Thing?
Yeah,
is it?
Go on. Do you know what? I suppose we would have a lot of access to our social media pages where people contact us. And in a sense, although their name is there, it's somewhat anonymous. So we're almost like a confession box for skincare where people tell us that they're getting sunbeds into their home and they're purposely right. trying to sun themselves to get, inverted commas, that base tan. And it's a lot more common than I wish to believe. And people like the Irish Cancer Society are doing great work in teaching us what we have to do. But whether people are actually carrying it through, I'm not so sure. So going back to what you're saying, SPF isn't your only way to protect the skin. It is, you know, your clothing. You can get UV clothing now as well that protects. It's not just, you know, a dark colour. It'll actually have that protection in it. Your sunglasses and just trying to stay out of the heat. One thing we do see an awful lot when clients contact us on social media is if they've gone to the pool or they've sweated excessively, done a run, whatever the case might be, is to make sure that you reapply your SPF. Yes. Yes. So so reapplication is definitely the key part. But you're right, unfortunately, statistically, we are quite prone to skin cancer. The numbers are increasing every year and it's not going there. It's just not what we want.
So every 2 hours, apply a lot. More than you think. Is that a good thing? More than you think.
More than you think, yeah. yeah. And then go again. Yeah. So, and then, do you know what? Another thing that happens is, and this happened to me years ago, so my mother will give out to me, I'll get in big trouble for this one, but I remember when Matthew, my son, was little, I was dropping him in to be minded by her, and she's like, oh, that's grand. I have the SPF from last year in the bathroom press.
Yeah.
It's making sure, try and treat SPF like a protection product, not a vanity product. So don't try, you know, with serums and cleansers, we tend to hold on to them for every last drop, you know, making sure you're purchasing new products every single year and that you bin them as the summer's out.
Why isn't it clearer in the labelling
that it's
out of date? Why is that the case?
I don't know. Do you know what? Even in our own brand, when there's so much legislation involved with creating an SPF, because it isn't just it'll help redness as such. Although that's important to people, don't get me wrong. When you're working with an SPF, it has to go through such rigorous testing. It's called toxicology reports. The EU is such a hard place to bring and retail an SPF in. So all I will say is if you go into your local pharmacy, if you see SPF 50 standing side by side, by and large, the baseline of those ingredients are the exact same because they have to be on par.
No, but you're saying there that they go off.
I don't know. They just don't have it large enough. If you look at the bottle of every product legally, it has to tell you with a little lid on it how you should say 12 months or yes. 24 months. So it is looking
once,
for
once
it.
You open it,
it just
it's
isn't
12
blatant.
Months. Yes, but then you don't know.
When did you open it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have three or four bottles doing the rounds. When did I open that one? Okay. We said you were coming in and we asked our listeners if they want to ask anything specific, and Siobhan in Cork does. Which goes on first, SPF or moisturiser? Thank you.
Great question. Answer is moisturiser, then SPF.
Great. Trina, looking for a recommendation for SPF for children's faces. Is it good to use the regular SPF I put on the rest of their body, or do they need something different for the face? I use a face moisturiser with SPF 50 on my own face every day, even if it's not that sunny. Should I do the same with my small children?
So there's a couple of questions in there. So by and large, you don't have to use a different body SPF to a face SPF. They are usually, for adults more so, they're usually made differently. So for example, an adult face SPF might have ingredients in there like niacinamide, which is known as B3, or vitamin C. Why? Because they'll also help pigmentation. So that element that I spoke about. So it's not just an SPF solely, it has another benefit to it. With children, the hardest part with children is getting them to sit still to put it on. So there's lots of forms of SPF now from a formulations perspective. But the most popular one for children is what we call a mineral SPF, which means that it doesn't have a lot of chemicals in it. Now, chemicals aren't negative. I'm drinking a glass of water. Water is a chemical. But in this sense, it just means for their eyes. You often hear people say when they go away, the child finds it hard, they cry, or they're in the pool and it stings. So you're looking for ingredients like titanium dioxide or zinc oxide. And they're essentially reflecting the majority of the rays away. So going back to this particular question, you don't have to use different ones. It's finding whatever SPF you can put onto your child that they take comfortably, whether it's a spray, a dust, whatever it is, but getting them to sit still is task number one. I totally appreciate that.
Are we allowed to tan? I'm quite sallow and tan very easily, never burn. What's the story there? Thank you.
So it's a great question.
They're looking for your permission.
They're looking for my permission, yeah. No, so the reality is all skins burn. All colours from all parts of the world burn. So it's about protecting your skin. It's not that you're not allowed to tan. Tan is essentially your body's way of saying, I've had a lot of light. And when I say this to people, particularly parents, they panic when they see their child come in with the little stripes on their knees from their summer camps and the whole lot. It will happen. It's your body's way of defending itself. It's just that you're ideally not going out purposely to do it, and that you're trying to reapply. And if I could have one wish in life, it'd be that we're allowed to put, which schools are getting much better with, but when I was in Australia, not so like a good few years ago at this stage, it was just everywhere. You had to reapply.
You had to, and
with your minor, they had to go to school with their SPF applied.
And I hope people apply their SPF this weekend at Wellfest. So you're at Wellfest this weekend, the 11th and 12th of May. Jennifer Rock, the Skin Nerd, thank you so much. Thanks for coming in. And we just want to say before we go, good luck to Bambi Thug tonight in the first semi-final of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. All the soundings from Malmo are good, so good luck, good luck, good luck.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.